Hello and welcome to the second episode of the B2B Visual Digest podcast brought to you today by Fast Signs International Incorporated. I'm your host, Chuck Kaler. Today we're going to discuss ways to connect decor and wayfinding in your space, and we're going to bring you two great live interviews. We've teamed up with the experts at Fast Signs to take a deep dive into decor and wayfinding. Whether you're an architect, designer, or branding agency, you really need to create your desired experience using the most appropriate materials and installation methods. So in this episode, we're going to take a look into how to bring your vision for design to life and learn about wayfinding, brand identity, decor, and architectural solutions. So let's first discuss wayfinding signage. It all starts with helping people reach their destination, whether it's a hospital, college campus, or corporate building. And so with that, I'd like to introduce you to our first guest, Mr. Charlie Kelly from Clark Systems. He's got over 27 years of experience in the signage industry and specializes in wayfinding, and we're so happy to have you here, Charlie. Let me ask you first, what is wayfinding signage? Please explain.
Well, thank you for having me, Chuck. I appreciate it. And, I could simplify it by saying it's almost like a breadcrumb trail. If you watch the old movies where people are trying to find their way out of a forest and they're leaving something to be able to find their way back. But basically, we're looking at pieces of information by way of directions, placed at key locations. These locations are otherwise commonly referred to as decision points, locations where people need to make that decision. Do they go left, right, or forward?
Okay, got it. So what would you say is the most common type of wayfinding?
Well, the most simplest way to break it down would be both an exterior, how to find their way to your facility, and then ultimately interior, where they have to find their way throughout your facility, getting to the key places. When it comes to a solution set, it typically breaks down to something that's referred to as a panel, and those panels can have either symbols or text-based information on them that would ultimately be designed in a variety of ways.
So you touched on what wayfinding signage is. What is a wayfinding system? I hear a lot about that too. How complex is that?
Well, it could be as simple as paper taped to a wall, but panels of information are the most common ones, Chuck. Typically, it's made up of a series of information solutions, what we call sign types. The sign types can be broken down into unique forms based on the amount of information being provided and where they're being mounted. So, for instance, you walk into a lobby, and the most information you're ever going to need is at that point, because everything is behind those front walls. So the directory will give you all the listings of everything that could be on multiple floors, etc., followed by directional signs. Once you begin your trek to a destination, you'll have different directional points of information, and those could either be mounted on a wall or suspended. In addition, you may find certain signs projecting because the doors are inset along the hallway. And then finally, you'll find a door sign next to the door, which is hopefully your destination. But as for complexity, we strive for simplicity. Less is more. Any sign that's quick to read and understand is quick to get you to your destination, especially in the cases of emergencies and, say, for that matter, hospital complexes, medical facilities. They need to get to the emergency in a quick fashion so that either they're helping the person they're with or, in turn, they're finding their loved one. But for that matter, you only want to give the information that's needed at key points in that journey. Again, going back to the key points of decision making.
You already touched on this a little bit, Charlie, but what types of challenges can wayfinding solve?
Well, it really breaks down a few key points, Chuck. First and foremost is identification. Identifying the building that you've reached by way of either the number for the street address or literally the brand on name of the organization. Secondarily, we obviously focus on direction, how to get people to and from locations. And then there's also the other side of warning that do not pass this particular space or this entryway because it's only for employees, or that there could be a safety risk for that matter. And finally, the fourth component could be promotion or branding for that matter, selling more to those that are viewing these particular components of wayfinding.
So what types of materials are available when it comes to wayfinding signage?
actually, the sky's the limit at this point. But the most basic kinds that we tend to deal with are paper, plastic, glass. You know, we even go fiberglass, aluminum, or steel. And nowadays, you're finding these other sheet goods that are made of high-density foam, that is compressed foam, or high-pressure laminates, all of which are readily available. But it really comes down to the environment and or the budget that's driving the choice.
That makes sense. Why do you think wayfinding is an integral part of buildings, and how can it fit into the existing architecture?
Well, I guess it's real easy to say you're lost if you don't have it. Basically, you're in a space that's a maze, and you might as well be blindfolded, because otherwise you won't have the necessary clues to make your way to and from a destination that you're desiring. But wayfinding can fit into the architecture in a variety of different forms. We could take on similar shapes if the building is based with has round shapes in its architecture, such as columns and so forth. You can mimic those in your sign designs. In addition to that, certain buildings have an architectural feel, a period of design in which they've been created, whether they literally transcend time from the 20s and we're trying to put signs currently in 2015, we can create designs that sort of match that period of design of the building. We can do that further by color coordination, font selection, as well as material accents. But otherwise, unique characteristics of the architecture can become an element of wayfinding in its own right. Besides the fact that you have helpful individuals within an organization are there to answer questions verbally, they need to use certain physical attributes of the architecture to be able to guide people. For instance, if we were offering someone direction that they were lost in the hallway, we could tell them to, you know, turn right as you pass the under the marble archway, turn right. So once they get to that particular physical structure, they would know that they're turning right. So all of these things work together to create the most effective wayfinding solution possible.
So Charlie, why should I use branding in wayfinding signage?
Well, actually, you don't have to, but if you do, you need to define what components or elements of branding that you want to incorporate. For instance, logos. Should a logo be used on every sign? No, not necessarily. But if your customer wants them, by all means, add them. It's not going to cause any difficulties. But the rule of thumb that we would use is that we would use it at key points where the viewers are beginning their journey. So it's just a matter of establishing the presence of your brand, your logo, and then allowing it to be reflected furthermore into the system by way of a brand font, if it's applicable to today's standards, and or colors of your brand can be incorporated as well.
Okay, so how does choice of color or materials make an impact? I'm sure that makes a big difference, right?
No question about it. Well, colors foremost affect visibility. High contrast versus low contrast. In today's aging population, the higher the contrast, the greater the visibility. This also is in keeping with today's American Disabilities Act and other standards that have been created for the betterment of society. But it's also, you know, the colors affect the look and feel of the given design environment. Colors affect our levels of comfort. Soft pastels are used mainly in your hospital and or medical and hospitality facilities versus those that create excitement and or energy that could be used in the likes of an arena and other areas of activity such as that. But, you know, materials can go further. They can support the architectural environment, or they can contrast with it for the sake of awareness. Again, if you're using your current environment to draw on and to determine what you want to use, and then in doing so, you can determine what level of contrast to it or whether or not you want to embrace what is already existing. So it's truly the designer's job to either create that unique solution or to provide a solution that the end user is asking for relative to the visitors and the goal of the visitor's experience.
That makes sense. I guess if I'm at a point where I'm sitting down to start planning for signage for my space, for my building, my business, what things should I keep in mind when I'm starting to do that planning process so I don't overlook anything?
I would boil it down to one simple thing, the visitor. If you don't look at the, and or plan relative to the visitor, you've made a very large mistake. It is key to understand what challenges they're facing as they come to your facility in the cases of an emergency situation. But on the other hand, what is it that you're trying to help them with and create that experience that they're looking to have as they visit? But the that obviously is a very broad and but at the same time a definite goal. Placement of the signage is paramount, as well as the factors of visibility, which we just touched upon in the previous question. But those three things, if you're thinking like the visitor, that should help you develop a strong program. If your placements are obviously have taken into consideration the greatest amount of visibility, and then finally, as I mentioned, the colors and contrast, those are the key things that you should not overlook when you begin to plan your signs.
Maybe making sure that those placements of the wayfinding signs are seen by everyone, right?
Absolutely. ADA as well as ANSI, which are American National Standards Institute, both of them create a level of regulation, if you will, that ensures that all people within our society have the greatest ability to read and understand what's being created in a wayfinding system.
So just to end here, Charlie, what kind of advice would you leave for someone who wants to update their wayfinding, your wise words of wisdom?
Well, I guess my wisest would be to call a Fast Signs franchisee right away. The franchisees have gone through multiple levels of training, and they can also reach deeper into their support by way of organizations like ours, but those will go hand in hand. But most importantly, they really need to step back and then either with the help of a Fast Signs franchisee, test their existing system. They need to discover the decision points that are not effective. Do we give the right information at the right time? And then more importantly, try to reduce the information to its minimum amount, but with the maximum amount of effect. That's where I'd start.
All right, we're on to interview number two, and I'm happy to introduce our second guest, Ms. Holly Coleman. She's the Marketing Development Manager at 3M Commercial Solutions Division, all the way from Minnesota. And she's got some years in the graphic and design industry, and we're happy to have you here, first of all, Holly.
Hey, thanks so much.
And so I'd like to just ask you some questions that you can share your experience on how companies can brand their interiors. So let me first ask you, why would companies want to consider branding their interiors? Let's start there.
Sure, good place to start. So I think we know companies spend a lot on their branding and trying to reach out to customers to catch their attention, whether it's on TV, radio, their social media strategy. But one of the most powerful places where they can bring that brand to life is their storefront, is their place of business. So it really only makes sense that you'd want to brand your interior, your built environment, so to say. It's probably considered a pretty big space of underutilized real estate.
Okay. Well, if a business had a specific goal to accomplish, what sort of applications would you suggest?
Well, we'd want to start by understanding kind of what they're accomplishing in the environment. You can do all sorts of different things. You can brand columns, floors, windows, walls. Look around, and if there's a surface, that chances are on the market somewhere, there's a product that can help brand or bring that surface to life. But I think one of the things that's really important is that, you know, you understand, are you looking for something short-term, long-term, indoors, outdoors? Is it high traffic area, moderate, light traffic? Some of those things so that you really make sure you nail that application and you bring the brand to life in the way that you want it to come.
So what applications are available for branding interiors?
Yeah, so I mentioned a few, but I mean, you can wrap fixtures. You can do really amazing finishes on glass, so amazing glass effects. Ceilings, the sky is kind of the limit.
Yeah, I see. In some places, I've seen ceiling tiles being printed on.
Absolutely.
Even conference rooms, I've even seen
conference tables with messaging, brand messaging on there. I think that's really a neat and different look.
Yeah, I would totally agree.
So what options are available if a company wants to extend their brand identity to, let's say, their walls? Let's start there. Okay.
Yeah, glad you brought up walls. So I think people underestimate what you can do on a wall. It, you know, doesn't have to just be a smooth wall at this point. You can have a textured surface that you brand. You know, brick wall can be branded. We even have whiteboard products that you can put on a wall so that you can encourage a collaborative environment. So walls are no longer just a smooth, plain surface anymore. They're much more complex, and you can do a lot more with them.
You know, you mentioned applying graphics on brick. I saw something in my Twitter feed as recent as this morning where schools are now applying graphics to lockers, like the wall of lockers, like murals,
yep.
You know, kind of turning it into murals. I think that's amazing. It's a great out-of-the-box thinking that you can do for your business or space facility.
Well, what a great way to bring a space to life. I think it's so important to kind of have that inspiring space that you're kind of living in or working in or going to school in.
Versus just looking at drab lockers.
Right. Old or new, yeah.
Exactly. So what types of wall decor are the most popular that you've seen? What are the trends on the horizon?
What are we seeing on the graphics runway, if you will? I think what we're seeing a lot is not just messaging, but sort of architectural elements. Mm-hmm. So design elements, you know, with the advent of house.com and Pinterest and some of the other social media websites, I think everyone kind of considers themselves a designer these days. And our customers and consumers have an immense appreciation for design. And so I think what you're finding is that branding is extending both to messaging as well as kind of that interior design aspect. You're seeing floor to ceiling, so large scale format brand elements. And then I would also say what we're seeing is highly saturated colors. So, you know, that might be different from 5, 10, 20 years ago. Today you have these really bold, saturated colors that you're seeing in the market. It makes for pretty inspiring spaces.
All right, so we've kind of touched on walls and ceilings. What about windows, doors, and floors in a facility? How could someone brand those elements?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I think there's so much potential here. Even if we talk about escalators or stairs or elevators, that's where you have a really captive audience. So you might have some folks that they can't go anywhere, they can't do anything else. So you might as well use those spaces to speak to them and to acquaint them with your brand. You know, think about the ceiling at a dentist office, for example. You can have quite a conversation with someone when they're held captive in that chair.
Captive
some
audience.
Of those spaces.
Yeah, exactly. And I've even seen some places where they'll have the graphics on the front of the steps that you mentioned, where as you're approaching the flight of stairs, it looks like one graphic up the stairs.
That's right.
That's right. So what other uses can you imagine in an unbranded space? Put your thinking hat on there.
Yeah, I think it's really fun to think about kind of starting with a blank slate. If you're, you know, an entrepreneur, store owner, what have you, really thinking outside the box, what can you do in your interior environment? So floors, I think, are a really exciting space, but it's so important to not forget what is sitting out in the parking lot. So if you have a company vehicle of some sort, a van, a truck, you know, that vehicle is going to extend your built environment. It's going to extend where your business lives by miles and miles. So making sure that you brand that element is going to be really important. So we always like to remind folks that that's a really powerful place to bring your brand to life.
So one final question I wanted to ask you before we close, is there any advice, wisdom that you want to leave us with, feedback that maybe we should think about as a company, as a business, on how to brand our interior when it comes to branding our interior?
You know, I, I think what's important to keep in mind is you want to choose the right product for the right application. That sounds, you know, kind of obvious, but there really are some great products on the market, so you have a lot of flexibility there. And then really keep in mind what's going to make something an inspiring space. There's just so much you can do. And what's beautiful with brand elements is oftentimes you can kind of do it overnight. And that, I think, is really powerful to whoever's going to be living in the space, whether it's your employees or your customers. So just enjoying the ease of that transformation is, I think, important.
Good stuff, Ms. Holly Coleman. Thank you so much for joining us today and giving us your input as it relates to ways to connect the core in our space and where we're at. So thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure. Really appreciate the invitation.
Okay, with that, I'm Chuck Kaler, and this has been the B2B Visual Digest with more ways to tell your brand story. I'd like to thank both our guests today and you, the listener, for joining us as we wrap up another episode of the B2B Visual Digest brought to you by Fast Signs International. Tune in next time for our next exciting and informative episode in our podcast series on why businesses are buying digital signs. So with that, always select Fast Signs for all your signographic needs. Fast Signs, more than fast, more than signs.